So how many believe that there is nothing out there that our Lord cannot break through? Amen. I mean, it's his power, and only through and by his power are we able then to break through. So therefore, at the end, all victory is the Lord's. All glory is the Lord's. We are here because of the Lord. And so we praise the Lord for his never-ending, never-ceasing love for us. Amen. Just a little bit about some of the announcements that are flashing by at the very top. We have our upcoming leaders meeting, and that's going to be on the 28th. So we got to remember that. We're still a little early. We're a couple of weeks away from that. But hey, you know, blink your eyes and there you go. We'll actually blink twice and there you go. There's one blink per week. So it's going to come by real quick. So let's make sure that we have the leaders meeting, all leaders that are here present. Make sure that you're getting ready for that day and for any future events that we're going to be doing as well. Those of you that were here yesterday, you know that we had a grand old time. We had a victorious night, wonderful food, and then the preaching, nevertheless, was excellent, right? Brother Elias Reyes, who is a pastor here also in the city of Lynwood, came to us and shared with us. What a lot of people don't know is that he was feeling very sick. He mentioned that he had a headache, but he was really sick to the point where he wasn't even with us because he was in his car resting. And so I texted him right before coming forward, and that's when he came up. So let's keep him in our prayers so that our Lord continues to heal him and restore him, and he's using him for his mighty glory. So after that, we had a great time, like I said, the word, and it's great to have those times of events, right? So we're doing that. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalm. We have a lot of things to discuss today that the Lord put in my heart. So I said, Lord, I only have an hour. I only have an hour. He says, yes, you only have an hour. So the afternoon, I have the whole afternoon. So don't worry about it. So Psalm 18, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. I'm going to concentrate on that. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. And the Word of God reads like this. It says, I love you, Lord. And if you were to underline anything, you would underline that. It says, I love you, Lord. And then you could also underline the following phrase, my strength. And then the Lord is, you can underline this, my rock. Underline this, my fortress. And underline this, my deliverer. Underline, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Underline, my shield. And the horn, and then underline my salvation, underline my stronghold. I'm going to read it again with all the underlines. So I'm just going to say, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious day that you have given to us one more time, Lord, where we can come and just praise you and honor you, Lord, with all a grateful heart, Lord, for all that you do. Father, we ask you today that your Holy Spirit just speak through me, O Lord, that he may use me as that vessel, Lord, to give to your people that edifying word, Lord, that word of confirmation and affirmation, Lord, that you are their God, Lord. And that no matter what we may be going through in lives, and whatever troubles we may be going through, Lord, you are reminding us today, Lord, that you are our everything, Father. We thank you for this time, Lord. May the words that proceed from my lips edify your people, Lord, but ultimately give you all the honor and all the glory. Amen and amen. So today's message is passion in the midst of anguish. And we've been talking for the past, you know, weeks in the month of January and up until February here, what the word passion is all about. And we kind of said that passion is grounded or is rooted or has a foundation of love. And it's this love that's really making us go that extra mile. It's love that's really making us take those steps out of our comfort zone. It's love that's really making us take those steps out of our boundaries. Because if you love someone so much that you're willing to do, here we go, use the word, anything for them, right? So if you think of your husband or your wife, or if you have girlfriend, boyfriends out there, I mean, think about it. And you're willing to go beyond certain boundaries to express, to let that person know how much you love them. Well, if we're willing to do that with somebody that we have here on earth, how much do we really love the Lord? Are we really able, or are we really willing to go beyond our boundaries and express that love for God? I mean, how much do you really love him? Right? So passion really talks about exactly what the psalmist was saying here. Look at his declaration that he's saying. He's calling him my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold. He's not saying your. He's making this personal. He says, this is my God. But most importantly, if you look at the verse, you see how it starts. Those three famous words, I love you. He says he's declaring his love for his God, who is his strength, who is his rock, and so on and so forth. But it all starts with that love. It demonstrates the passion that we have, because he could have said, I love your Lord for everything that you do and for all that you are. I mean, sometimes our prayers are like that. Lord, please bless everybody in the world. Lord, please bless all my family. Really? I mean, come before the Lord and say, Lord, please bless my wife. Please bless my husband and children and kids out there. And you say, please bless my father. Please bless my mother. Please bless my sister. Please bless my brother. Name them. David did. He wrote this. He told them exactly what he was feeling inside his heart. So passion makes us go that extra mile. Passion says that when I'm praying, I'm not limited to 30 seconds. Passion says if I'm praying and I pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20, 30, then I'm going to do it. Passion makes us go beyond our boundaries of what we would normally do. See, and it's that love that we have, that we express towards God, that makes us do these things. Is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. In fact, that's what God requires of us. That's what God wants of us. And yet, except we've been kind of holding back a lot of this in order for us to express this. There's this person, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, who coined a very famous phrase for her husband, who is Robert Browning, right? So she expressed this phrase, and let me see if you guys remember it. She's a poet, right? And she wrote this famous sonnet, Sonnet 43, entitled, How Do I Love Thee? He says, and some of you guys have already figured out the next part. In the sonnet, she starts out by saying that famous line, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways, right? How much do you really love me? Tell me about it. Oh, I love you because of everything that you do. Okay, that really didn't say anything, right? You didn't really, what do I do? And it kind of forces us to go, well, because you're compassionate, because you're loving, because you're caring, because you're there, because you're always there for me, because you're my strength, you're my soul, you're my rock, you're my deliverer. We begin identifying exactly what we and how much we love them. And just like Elizabeth, she says, let me count the ways. Lord, I love you so much. Let me tell you all the ways that I love you. That's what David did. My rock, my fortress, my shield, my strength. And he goes on and on and on. In this sonnet, the speaker asks how she loves her husband, her beloved, and then tries to list the different ways in which she loves him. Her love seems to be eternal to the point where she exists everywhere. And she intends to continue loving him after her own death, if God lets her. See, that's the way she expressed it. And what a wonderful sentiment, especially now, you know, since, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, you know. It's wonderful to really kind of begin to express the ways that you love those around you. She begins to list out all the different ways that she loves her husband. But Being in love is truly a wonderful and eternal experience. I mean, when there is true love, of course, this is how, when it's wonderful, right? Because love not only takes us to those heavenly realms of beauty and joy, and everybody becomes a poet when they're in love, right? Everybody's a poet when they're in love because you come up with words and phrases and I'll bring the stars down to you. What does that mean? Oh, that's nice. You know, I'll walk 1,000 miles in the hot, dreary desert. Will you? Nope. Really? You are the bread of my life. I would stop eating if you would depart from me. Really? As soon as they leave, you probably go to a burger place and just woof down the food. Not that she's not there. But we all of a sudden we just become so romantic with the poems and all these lines and all these phrases. But all that really to express your love for that person. But that's how we do it when everything is going well. But love is not only expressed when things go well. Love is also seems to be expressed when things just don't go right. So what happens to love when we find ourselves in the midst of pain, solitude, and doubt? Does that poet still reside inside? Does the thankfulness towards God is still in there? Do we naturally call out to God and tell him and praise him and honor him and worship him when we are going through pain, when we're going through solitude, when we're even doubting ourselves about everything? Are we going through that? I mean, will this passion or this love carry you through that fire? Is love truly eternal and enough to carry you through a valley of shadow and death? I mean, really, and ultimately, that's what we are. I mean, as Christians and as followers of God, we're always not in trouble, but we're always going through troubled times because we got an enemy of our soul that's not going to make it pleasing for us. If it'll be one thing, it's another. If it's one thing, it's another, and one thing right after the other. And so how much do you really love me, says the Lord? Are you willing to praise me while you're going through all those hard times? I mean, if you want to open up your Bible right there, although you'll see it up here, but if you can underline, please. Because David recalls in Psalm 18 a time when he was in anguish. You know, and he uses this phrase, the cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me and the snares of death confronted me. I mean, does this paint a strong enough picture of the turbulent time that David finds himself in? I mean, when you begin to imagine everything that he's writing in there, I mean, some people might read this and it's exaggeration. He's being a little bit exaggerated here, you know. But when you find yourself in the midst of torment, when you find yourself persecuted, when you find yourself that your life is being threatened, and when you find yourself, there's really no peace in your life, well, guess what? It doesn't seem to be an exaggeration at all. We might find ourselves doing that. Since David was taken from his sheepfold, and then he was anointed as future king of Israel, David had lived like 20 years as a fugitive and as a man who lost everything. He lost his safety. He lost his youth. He lost his family. He lost his career. He lost his rights. He lost his connection with the covenant people of God. He lost his comforts. And at times, it even seems that he even lost his relationship with God. So there was a lot of anguish in the midst of this man that God called him. There was a lot of pain going through his life. There was no peace. You know very well the story of David, how Saul just constantly kept trying to kill him. You think there's peace after that? If you know that there's somebody out there who's constantly trying to kill you, would you ever close your eyes? No. I think that you would be walking around, not going in, just looking around everywhere, couldn't trust anybody, because there would be no peace because you know that your life is being threatened. David was exactly the same way. Hence, he writes these things up here. Right? So it doesn't seem to be an exaggeration, but now more so, it seems like that one was describing what was going on through his life when he's doing this. Now, I gotta just give you a little background. He's remembering this time. It's not what he's going through now, but he's remembering. But look at what David did in verse 6. He says, in my distress, okay? Let me read back here. Here we go. Lost track of place. But most of us, when we begin hearing of all the troubled times and everything that goes there, I mean, a lot of the times just kind of describes many things that are going on through our lives. You know, because if it's not one problem, it's another, like I was mentioning. If it's one not illness, it's another. And if it's not this, it's another. And it robs your peace and it robs your comfort and it robs your security about what's going to happen time after time after time after time. You know, it's kind of like if you remember being back in school, it's like when finals come in. I mean, if it's not one period who has the finals and you had to study for that one, it's another period they had a son, and then it's another one, then it's another one, then it's another one. It's like when you finish all of that, it's like, right? And those of you guys that are in college, you guys know all that all too well, and those in high school as well, you guys know that all too well. It's one thing right after the other that when it's all over with, you just kind of go, ugh, right? But that is the thing. Well, guess what? God knows what's going on through your lives. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what your heart is being troubled by. Whether it is school, whether it is life, whether it's work, whether it's friends, whether whatever it is, God knows what's troubling your heart. Okay, He knows that. And He has placed in His Word those wonderful and beautiful promises that can help us get through those rough times. See, He knows that, and because He knew that, He placed an answer here for you. That's why we're always supposed to be looking at our Bible to see, God, how can this pain that I'm feeling now be relieved? David did in verse 6, he says, in my distress, I called out to the Lord. See, in your time of anguish, you have the option of really going out there crying and beating and getting angry with everybody, the rest of the world, and nobody loves me, and everybody hates me, and I hate the world, and you just leave me alone. Or you can do what David did, and he says, in my time of need, Lord, I called out to you. You have that option. And it continues saying in verse 6, he says, I called out to the Lord, I cried to my God for help. And then what did he do? He didn't leave you there. God didn't just ignore you. God didn't just ignore David. He says, from his temple, he heard my voice. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. God is listening to you. But if you never come to him, if you never bother to come and talk to your Lord, then how is he going to hear that cry coming out for you? Well, Pastor, he just knows everything. He knows what I'm thinking. No, 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 no. God wants you to come to him. In David's time of trouble, he called upon the Lord. I mean, is that something that we naturally do? I mean, I don't think so. David was quick to call on the Lord because of what verse 1 says. It says, I love you, Lord. That's how he went to him first, because he called on him because he loves him. That is the love that says, I am here for you. And I will always be here for you. So therefore, whenever you find yourself in any trouble whatsoever, come to me first. See, but our natural tendency is not to come to the Lord first. Our natural tendency is to cry, to throw ourselves in a corner, to kick and, you know, just leave me alone, get angry with the world, don't come to me, don't come near me, and, you know, and just throw yourself out there in this deep place that nobody wants to be in. But we have been called to, excuse me, to a higher understanding that in our midst, we are to come to the Lord. We love him. And because we love him, he is always there for us. That's David's passion for God. He does whatever, he goes to him. And that passion for God helped him get closer to God. That passion for God helped him to reach out to God. That passion for God helped him to understand the frailties and then turn to God, know his weaknesses, his debilities, those things that just keep him from coming to closer to him. It helped him also realize that God is his true salvation. He is the only one that can help us. We have to realize that. That when we find ourselves in trouble, it's not the bank that helps us out. It's not the friend that helps us out. It's God that will always help us out. He really and truly is our true salvation. Go back and look at verse 1. I mean, just like describing the many ways that we can express love to a person in good times, it should also be our mechanism during those difficult times in our lives. So we describe or we remember the love that God has for us and how he helped us. I know this is totally contrary to what we would act like I was saying, but do you love God? Do you trust in him? And if you do, then praise him in the midst of the storm. Here is the crux of what I'm talking about. God wants our praise, not only in good times. God wants our praise also if your heart is troubled, if your spirit is troubled. He still wants you to praise him. Because when you're able to put your needs off to the side and say, Lord, I love you, Lord. I know you are there, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I give you my life, Lord. You are my strength. You are my fortress. You are my shield. You are my rock. And you have put all of your needs off to the side. The Lord says, I have an ear for that. See, but I was talking with somebody that this person was finding herself in such a hard time of her life. And then all of a sudden she tells me, you know, I didn't want to come to church. But then something inside of me says, no, come to church. And ultimately she did, and everything was fine. But you see, that's where the enemy wants us. That when you're going through those hard times, he says, stay away from church. People are just going to talk about you. They don't want to see you sad. They don't want to do that. So just avoid it. But that is what we are supposed to go against, that feeling. We're supposed to deny those feelings and come to him and worship him in the midst of whatever storm you may be going through. I mean, that's what David did. In verse 3, he says, I called out to the Lord who is worthy of praise. Not only did David call upon the Lord in his distress, but he also called upon the Lord to praise him, to praise him in the midst of that. God inhabits the praises of his people. We are to praise God in all things. We, like David, should know from our past blessings that God will be with us in all of our battles. He is our help. See, and it's very quick for us to always slide back and forget that. But you know what? When there's passion, when there's that love, we will never forget that we have a God that's there for us. We will never forget that God says, come to me first. And we will always be living that in our hearts and in our minds. When we praise our Lord during bad times, it recalls the wonderful promises that he has given us. When we are going through those hard times and we come to the Lord, the promises of God just start coming up. They start floating up where we start remembering the good things that God is for us, that he will always support us, that he will raise us up with his mighty hand. He will be our strong tower. He will always lift us up. See, when we go through these hard times and we call out to God, those promises just start filling our lives. And when we do, it's a totally different perspective. It reminds us that he is a faithful God and no harm will come to his children. And when you remember this, peace now comes over you. It says it's a peace that kind of surpasses all understanding now takes over you. And instead of feeling anguished, instead of feeling depressed, instead of feeling angry, instead of feeling like, you know, everybody's against you, because you came to the Lord first, he covers you with his peace and he carries you through this hard and troubled time. That's what he wants us to understand about the God that who he is. But it's not until we actually define our love, define our passion for God, that we will ever get to this place. If you say, I love you, Lord, but don't really mean it, because you can say that. I mean, we could even sing it. I love you, Lord. Right? But if you don't really mean it, then you will never find the true love, the passion for God, that will help you get to this point here. That you will trust God no matter what. Right? Now, I have a question for you. Have you ever had just a time of prayer in which all you do is just praise him? Have you ever just come to the Lord And say, Lord, thank you for all the wonderful things. Thank you for your, here we go with the wonderful things, all, right? The all wonderful things. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my job. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for your covering. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, because you are always there for me. Amen. I think that we may start out that way, but we always end up, Lord, please help me, Lord. Please deliver me from this, Lord. Please grant me this, Father. Please. Then it turns into a more a kind of gimme, 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 gimme kind of thing. I think our good Lord kind of just deserves a little time of just praise, of just worshiping him, of not always coming. Remember, he knows what's inside your heart. He knows that, but just come to him and praise him and give him glory for that. I mean, like I said, this is not something that we would normally do, and that's why it's so important for us to do that. David did it. David, in the midst of his trouble, he found time to come to the Lord and praise him for who he is. Right? That's notice what the title the subtitle in Psalm 18 says. David is writing this to the chief musician. He's not writing to the choir director. That chief musician is another phrase to say he's writing it to his God. He's talking to him. He's doing this for him. This is God himself, because God himself delivered him from all the anguish, from all the pain, from all that he's doing. He is writing this to him. So David starts out by saying, I love you, Lord. He's not writing it to the choir director. He's writing it to the chief musician, right? I love you, Lord. He praises God for all his deliverance. David said, I love you, to the God who delivered him, not only for rescuing him from his trial, but for all of God, all of the good that God did in all through the trials to make him who he was. David wasn't a bitter man against God, as if he had said, well, it's about time that you deliver me. Instead, he was grateful for the years of trouble. Listen to that. He was grateful for the years of trouble that had that those years of trouble had done in his life, something necessary. In other words, those bad and difficult times served a purpose, and it made you now the man or the woman, the servant of God, who you are today. See, only God can take the bad and turn it into good. He can take all those troubled times that we have lived, and he could turn it for good, for his honor, and for his glory. Only God can do that, right? So we have to remember that, yes, you may be going through hard times, but you're not going through it alone. God is there with you. This is why David said, you know, you are my strength. In other words, he is the one that has empowered him to survive against and defeat all his enemies. He says, you are my strength. He says, you are my rock. And this indicates a place of shelter, a place of safety, a place of secure standing. Standing firm in the rock of who God is. He calls them his fortress. And this is a place of strength and safety, security and peace. He calls him his deliverer, the one who made him escape from him, right? He calls him his refuge, the hiding place in the midst of turmoil that one where one can actually find rest. He calls him his shield. He's the one who defends both his head and also his heart. He calls him his salvation, the powerful rescuer that delivered him from death. He calls him his stronghold, his high tower of refuge, where he could see an enemy from a great distance and then be protected from his enemies, from his adversaries. I mean, look at the ways David describes who God is for him. Your homework for this week is to describe how God is for you as well. Who is God to you? I mean, what has he done for you? How do you serve him? What's your relationship with God? If we get into those, you know, all-encompassing words like all and everything, I encourage you to really define exactly how you see God involved in your life on a daily basis. And begin to define who God is to you. Because it's not unless you begin to define who he is to you, well, then you begin to make your relationship stronger with God. Right now, we come to church and we say, we came to serve God. Why? Because that's what we are to do. Aren't we? Why are you here to serve God? Because we love him. Now, you love him in what sense? Then you begin to drill down to the nitty-gritty. I love him because he... Right? Let's do away with all the all-encompassing. Oh, Lord, I got to pray, and I'm quick. Lord, please bless my entire family. Deliver him from all the evil that's out there, and put your blessing on all of them. Amen. You think that was a prayer? You said absolutely what? Nothing. Right? So we gotta be exact. Look at David. Look at the example David is setting, right? This is the man, and this is only in the time when he was in anguish. It doesn't talk about the times when he was in gratefulness. Look at the Psalms. Those are all songs that David wrote for God, right? And in which he expressed the times of gratitude, the times of you know, when he was in sickness and needed God and in a strength. He wrote them there. These were all songs. But you know what? You know what David is really saying? He's really saying, I love you, Lord. Let me count the ways. Wouldn't it be great if you would just take a paper and a pencil and then just go out in a place just by yourself and begin to write down the Lord. I love you, Lord, because you are this to me. I love you, Lord, because of this. Just like David. I love you, Lord. And then go back and keep it there. Because when you're going through those hard times, open up that book again. And then read that again to you. Read it to yourself. Okay? Read it to yourself, and you're going to begin to see how wonderful and how glorious God has always been. He will never abandon you. We're talking really about how do we find passion in the midst of anguish? I mean, by not doing what we would normally do. That's really how we find it. I mean, because we say, love the Lord, we need to go against our natural tendencies of crying, complaining, and lamenting, and just call out to him and praise him. Just praise him. What we're really talking about is pain that leads to praise. Okay? Pain that leads to praise. Well, guess what? That's a choice. Okay? You have the option, okay, of praising him, or you have the option of following your feelings of solitude, of anger and resentment, and avoiding God. Pain that should lead you to praise. Thank you, Lord, because I am here. And you know what? The Bible has it. Remember the Bible stories. Take a look at Hannah. A woman there who was humiliated because she wasn't able to conceive, you know, and then the other wife that Elkanah had, Peninnah, she would then just go all over her and says, infertile woman, you know, criticize her and all that. In her anguish, she came before the Lord and she poured it all out. And what did the Lord do? Abandon her? Absolutely not. He gave her the blessing of becoming a child. And then we have the prophet Samuel, right? Take a look at Job. I mean, take a look at all the anguish that Job did. I mean, he lost all his 10 kids. He lost all his financial security. He lost his, you know, everything, his possessions that he had. Still kept the wife, you know, if you know the story. If you know the story, you know, kept the wonderful wife. You know, the Lord didn't manage to take that one away. You know, she was there for a purpose, right? But in the midst of all his anguish, he finds his four friends come over here to encourage him. And instead of encouraging him, they said, dude, what did you do? You really must have done something really bad to get the Lord upset. Look at what you're going through. Look at you. Have you seen yourself in a mirror? Well, they didn't have mirrors, but did you look at yourself in the reflection of the water? Mm-mm-mm. Not good, right? And instead of encouraging him, they try to put him down and try to get him to confess something that he didn't do. You think that would kind of encourage him to get better and all that? No. But did he ever turn back to God and says, Lord, this is your fault? Absolutely not. Right? Instead, because he did that, he praised them at the end, and the Lord blessed him. Double fold. Right? Most beautiful children. Another set of 10 kids. Wow. Another set of 10 kids. Three girls, the most beautiful in the land. Right? His possessions double and fold in everything that he had. And because he decided to take his pain and then turn it into praise. We get Moses, right? we get Moses that in the midst of standing in right there in the mountain where he sees behind him, he sees all the Egyptian army coming after him. He sees and off to the other side, he sees an ocean, and then he says, this kind of thing, right? And instead of crying and lamenting, and the people worry, says, oh, look at Moses, we got the army behind us. They're just coming out here to kill us. You brought us out to the desert to die. And instead of being discouraged, instead of crying out and running into to another mountain, he said, forget all of you guys. You guys die. Go ahead and die. You deserve to. He didn't do any of that. He turned to God. And God, what did he do? He opened up the sea. Okay? That pain, that anguish, that doubt, all of that taken away because God decided to deliver them. We find in the book of Kings the widow of Zarephath. Okay? The widow here, amidst a great famine, with no husband to provide for her and son, they prepare their last meal. Who comes along? A prophet of God, Elijah. He comes in there and he says, woman, give me something to eat. And she says, pero yo no tengo. I mean, I don't have any. I don't know how to say that in Hebrew, right? He says, but I don't have anything. He says, I have nothing. In fact, I'm just collecting these little sticks to go out there and do our last meal for my son and myself because we're surely going to die amidst this great famine. So she said, no. Elijah said, no, give me the food first. So she did. She obeyed. And then our Lord blessed her. He says that from her jar, her flour never ended. She just kept on going and going and going and going. It never ended until the famine was over. Then they were able to sustain themselves. But through the midst of all that pain, all that doubt, all that anguish, she could have said, you know, forget all this. She could have said, I don't want any of this. You know, it was a choice. And she decided to trust in God. And then what happened? The Lord provided for her needs. We find also another story. The father of a possessed son, right? In Mark 9, verses 14 to 29, I mean, here's this man who has been tired. He says because his son had been demon-possessed ever since he was young, right? Now him being a youth, he says every time he's being possessed, he rolls around in there, he throws himself into the fire, throws himself into the water. He says he's uncontrollable. We can't do that. I come to your disciples. Your disciples can't deliver him. And he says, and I come to you, Jesus. He says, I come to you. He cried out to him. And what did Jesus do? Said, if my apostles couldn't do it, the disciples couldn't do it, then I can't do it. No, never turned him away. Brought him in, delivered him. When the evil spirit came out of him, he says he was restored. And then he went off with his dad. Here's his dad now with his brand new son, right? Restored. A time of anguish, years of anguish, years of pain, amidst a circumstance that's so difficult that nobody can help him. Nobody kind of just, oh, yeah, that's just him and his, you know, crazy son. You know, he was already known in the town by that. People just knew him, and little son would just like to throw himself in the fire. You know, doesn't have anything to do, I guess, you know, so he throws himself into the fire. All these things, you know, and then he meets Jesus, and it's a totally different story. He came to him because he trusted, because he knew that Jesus could do something whatever anybody else could not do. The man walked away with a restored son and tremendous joy inside his heart. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on about people that have gone through anguish, have found themselves in difficult situations where nobody else can help them, where nowhere else to turn. But when they decide to trust in God, things begin to happen. See, that's what love is all about. Love makes you trust, not because you have to trust, because you want to trust that person. All of them, they decided to trust in God, and God never abandoned them. See, that's why when we go through those hard times, when we go through those difficult times, you have somebody there that can do the job. Okay? Whatever your case may be, you have somebody there that will never say, no, get away, kid, you bother me, you know, or shoo away, I'm too busy for you. You know, I got greater miracles that I need to do than worry about, you know, your little pain on your side. You know, I got greater things to deal with. No. Whatever the case may be, if you make a choice to trust in God, he will never step back. He will always hear you. He hears you. He understands you. In fact, I mentioned this verse. David said in Psalm 18, verses 16 and 19, he says, "The Lord reached down from on high and took hold of me." He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. See, this is what God does for us. In the midst, in the midst of our pains, he reaches down and lifts us out of that pain. He reaches down and delivers you from whatever you're going through. He reaches down and provides for you a safe place where you can continue living your life. Whether that be he fills you with that peace that just kind of you don't understand why you're happy and there's so much pain around you. You don't understand why there's no grieving or lamenting or feeling sorry for yourself because of all the things that are going bad in your life. That's because God has given you that peace so that you can pass all that turmoil. See, God doesn't remove you from that and you never have to confront it. God makes you confronted because knowing that you and him are always there side by side and knowing that he will always comfort you. That's what he said. But the Lord was my support. The Lord was my support. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 150, I mentioned it last week. It says, "Call on me on the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." See, and you will honor me. This is what God is giving to us. But again, it all starts out with what our brother said, the word love. If you haven't understood what love is all about, you will never you will never fully understand the full power of the God that loves you. You got to understand him, that he's there for you. And no matter what they may be, we have to step up and we have to come close to him so that he can always be there. He is our deliverer. He is our strength. We can also say what David is saying, that he is our rock. That nothing moves me because of his will. He will always sustain me. He will always lift me up. He will always be there for me. He will always, in whatever circumstance that may be, and mind you, a lot of us have a lot of circumstances, he will always be our high fortress. You know what that high fortress, that picture? I love that word, high fortress, because it's a secure place. It's somewhere where nobody can reach you. He is lifting me to a point where he says, "I'm protecting you. I'm your high fortress, and nobody will ever reach you because I have you here." That's, to me, that's a wonderful feeling because, believe me, when those hard times come, when those difficult times come, I need that high fortress. I need to be placed up there. Because if he doesn't lift me up, I don't know what would happen, right? But we need to come to that full understanding of who God is for our lives. We need to come out of that full understanding that God is only there because it's of the give me, give me, give me, give me, give me kind of situation. He is not, like I mentioned before, our heavenly, bellboy, that whenever we need something, we just ring a little bell and then he comes, "Yes, how can I serve you? Well, what do you want for today?" He is not that. He is a God that loves you. He is a God that's there for you. And we have to believe and we have to understand, we have to trust that he can when we can't. Okay? And that is what we need to do. So, in conclusion, my question to you, how much do you love God? Right? How much do you love him? Do you love him enough to trust him in every situation or whatever situation you find yourself in? Do you love him enough that in order for you to confront the situation, you want to then come up to him in whatever that may be? You love him enough to really say to God, "God, here's all my trouble. Here's all my pain. Here's all my anguish, Lord. Here's all that I am suffering, Lord." Do you love him enough to say, "Lord, here's my everything. And here it is. He will be before you. Do you love him enough to really cry out to him for help? Or is our heart so arrogant enough to actually think, I can handle this. I can deal with this. I can resolve this. All I have to do is this. No. Why go through all that? God says, I am here for you. I will sustain you. I will be your strength. I will be your rock. I will be your fortress. I will be your deliverer. I will be your refuge, your shield, your salvation. I will be your stronghold. Let us take hope that God is always there for us. Let us take hope that he will never abandon us. Let us take hope that his presence will always be through us, as no matter how difficult, no matter how trying, no matter how frustrating a situation may be, that love and passion for God should make us always look to him first and say, Lord, here I am. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. So let us remember that from our God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Because today, amongst all the many things that are going on in our lives, Lord, infirmities, financial woes, personal relationships, family relationships, Lord, in the midst of all those things that just never seem to stop and never seem to end, we can always turn to you, Lord, because you are always there. Lord, you are our strength. You are our rock. You are our fortress. You are our deliverer, our refuge, our shield, our salvation, our stronghold. And for that, we give you praise and we give you glory. Glory, Lord. Thank you, Father, for loving us so. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us, Lord, when we are unfaithful. Thank you for always being there for us. For when we call upon you, when we cry to you, our prayers do not fall on deaf ears. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.